So, Maggie,
how do you find the talking about reality?
It's quite a new idea for me. I speak in Chinese and let Vincent translate for me.
It's quite different from what I've heard about Buddha Dharma before. What I heard about reality before, I didn't really mean what does that mean. So today and yesterday, it's quite a big change for me, talking about now, reality at this moment.
And what is reality now?
What is actually happening now is reality. What's been heard, the hearing, and what's been seen, the feeling, it's reality.
So hearing now, is that what is happening now? Is it hearing at this moment?
Yes.
And what does hearing hear?
Sound.
First. Sound comes first.
Yes.
And then transfer to the meaning.
Mm-hmm. What transfers to meaning?
The thinking, think about the sound.
So after the hearing has completely fallen away, the thinking thinks about the sound and the meaning of what has been heard. Is that right?
Who hears or what hears?
Hearing hears with the help from the ear.
Because the sound has impinged on the ear sense, so hearing can hear the sound. No one else hears it, just hearing hears the sound. If there is no sound and no ear sense, hearing cannot arise to hear sound. It depends on the sound and the ear sense to have arisen in order for hearing to hear it. And why does it help to understand that hearing just hears sound? No one there, no one who hears, no thing that is heard. Why is this useful?
Basically, Maggie is trying to say this helps to break the concept of I.
And is there any I anywhere to be found? So no I that hears, no I that sees. How about thinking or liking or disliking? Any I to be found anywhere?
Before I would believe there's an I, but after these couple of days, it seems it's not I, but there is the kusala and akusala are different type of realities are doing this.
And usually when it's the idea of I can do, like I can concentrate, I can meditate, I can see, is it the kusala or akusala thinking that thinks like this?
I still have some question about the Vipassana method I learned for the past few years. Because the method I learned before and now I hear about this is a big impact, it will be shocking to me.
We understand.
So when I learned the Vipassana method, which kind of forced the attention on the bodily feeling, does this mean that increase the wrong view?
It's easy to say that hearing hears and seeing sees, but actually what's the moment of hearing like now? The reality of it. What is the reality which hears?
It's easy to say
hearing hears.
Yes.
But what's the actual hearing is?
It's because the ear itself only has the function as an ear.
That is thinking about ear. But in order to really understand the actual reality which hears.
She says difficult.
Very, very difficult. We just follow the words with our thinking about that which arising and falling away all the time. So I think that in order to understand reality as the self, there must be the understanding of each one as it is. For example, sound is heard. right? Mm. Yes. But sound is not hearing at all.
Mm.
So hearing is a reality which can hear sound only. It cannot think at all. Hearing cannot think.
Mm.
Each reality has its own characteristic. Can hearing see?
No.
Can seeing hear?
No.
So it's different moment, different reality.
Yeah.
Because seeing is conditioned just to arise and see. That's all. Not more than that at all. So at this moment it seems like there are non-stop seeing at all, but actually each moment in split seconds, shorter than that, is conditioned to arise and see. So what is seen?
Still difficult to answer the question.
Because this is the truth that Buddha has enlightened. It must be different from the others' words at all. Otherwise, he's not a Buddha. So his word is different from the others.
It's quite difficult.
Very, very difficult. Otherwise, how can there be conditions for understanding the moment of arising and falling away, so that the confidence of non-self must be very firm then. Otherwise, no one can take it away, because ignorance there, each moment of seeing, hearing, living from eons and eons ago until now.
Yes, it's too fast to really know what seeing is, and it's already thinking.
That's why we should learn to understand that which appears little by little.
The question is, how come for myself, to me, the hearing seems easier to understand than seeing?
No, not easy at all, because we think that it's easier, but actually what is seen and what is heard exactly the same, because no one there. See, no matter at moment of seeing, hearing. But sometimes there is the idea that sound arises and falls away, because hearing hears sound and then no sound. But by seeing at this moment, it seems like a very long moment of seeing.
No, I'm there, you know. Difficult.
But the moment of citta, that which experiences, is the same, very short.
Where is the contradiction? Even if I pay attention to either anapana breathing or the bodily feeling, they are also changing. Any contradiction?
We are talking about realities, no one.
She didn't really get it.
Pay attention. Body, what reality is that?
I don't know.
Who is it that pays attention? What is the eye that pays attention?
Yeah, right. I may have a sense of eye doing the practice.
Just to get back to what Ajahn was saying, there's a difference between paying attention to the breath or the body and paying attention to realities.
What's the difference?
Well, actually I'd like to rephrase that, because it's not about paying attention. There's a difference between the body and breath on the one hand and realities on the other hand. The difference is that sound, for example, can be directly experienced.
Yes.
It is experienced by hearing consciousness. The body, however, what we take for the body, is experienced either when it's seen or touched or thought about.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a single reality to be directly experienced. It's an idea that we have.
So she body is concept, but when I feel the heat on the body, it's a reality, right?
Say again.
Body is a concept, but when feel the heat, is that a reality?
We can say that heat is a reality, but when there's an idea of me feeling heat, that's not the moment of experiencing the reality of heat.
It's a turnaround, my friend.
Earlier you said the thinking happens very fast. After seeing, there's thinking immediately. The same with feeling heat. That's also thinking.
Oh, so it's not reality.
It's not reality. Because that's an ordinary experience. Everyone feels heat. But that doesn't mean they're experiencing. There's directly experiencing of the reality. There's already a concept, a story of feeling hot.
So when the so-called observe the bodily feeling I practiced before, that doesn't really mean there's a direct experience, that just means there's a lot of thinking. Is that
a lot of thinking?
Right.
Trying to experience, trying to thinking that reality is being experienced, but it's really just thinking about things. Because, as Ajahn said earlier about sound, it's easy to say sound is experienced by hearing. It's easy to say that heat is experienced by body sense. But that doesn't mean the reality that is sound or hearing or heat is being directly experienced as it is, as a characteristic.
At a moment of
touching now, you call it feeling, we call it touching. At a moment of touching, what is experienced? At a moment of seeing, seeing sees, and what is seen, you said, is visible object, not people or cups. Mm-hmm. And a moment of hearing, hearing hears, and just sound is heard. And you said earlier, seeing cannot see sound, hearing cannot hear visible objects, so they have their particular object. At a moment of touching, there is a tangible object. What is experienced at a moment of touching?
By touching, there's experience of hardness, softness, or heat, or cold.
Right. So it's now at this moment there is hardness or heat experienced now. No need to focus or concentrate on it without any effort or concentration. That is what is experienced at this moment. Is that correct?
Yes, you appreciate. Focus, right?
And who is touching that hardness or that softness?
I still have the eye sense to feel it.
So is that really the eye sense that is touching it, or is that thinking that it is eye that is touching?
Thinking.
Thinking.
Because at this moment of touching, just like seeing or hearing, it's just a moment of experiencing that hardness or softness. We can call it touching or anything we like, but at that moment it's just the experiencing of it. What or where is this I sense? What is the reality of I sense?
I think I understand a little bit now.
It's just what one imagines, it's just in the imagination afterwards when there's thinking, I touch.
Thinking thinks about
I touch, I experience. But actually at a moment of touching, just there is just that experiencing for that moment.
So she a little bit confused about the question. So who is experiencing this? So is that answer should be like someone is really someone behind all this, or
is there anyone to be behind? Is there anyone to experience? No. So no one there at all. No one experiences seeing. No one experiences hearing. No one touches. No one thinks. There is just that moment of experiencing, which experiences its object and falls away. No one to be found anywhere.
So it's when one follows one's
practice and one has the idea, I feel here, I feel here, I feel here, I feel this, I feel that. Is it right or wrong idea?
Wrong.
Because?
Because it's your I, they are doing this practice.
So it's all motivated by the idea of I can experience.
So is that, does that mean is the sanya doing all the thinking of illusion?
There can be different kinds of thinking I. There can be the idea of I with wrong view, or it may just be an accustomed way of thinking without a particular idea of a permanent being. So just with attachment, for example. So we need to understand that when we say I is wrong, the idea of a self is wrong, but we don't have to say that there should never be any thinking in terms of I.
Okay. Because, as Jung says, because of sanya, there will always be thinking in terms of I and you, mm-hmm. and me and she.
Right. So this is not easy question, though. I don't know, maybe too theoretical. It could be when the reality came in, then what is the process? How it become a concept, become an I? What happened there? So if there's an I?
It's like we said, sanya is remembering things that have been experienced in the past. And if there has been a lot of thinking in terms of a self in the past, that thinking and those ideas of self have been accumulated, and there is the accumulated tendency to think in that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you also use the example of the fire stick?
Like now, when seeing sees visible object, actually many, many visible objects are seen, but they rise and fall away very, very rapidly. So like when one waves a fire stick, afterwards an impression is left, like a circle of flame, but actually there was only one visible object at a moment, but because of the rapid passing away, an image is left. And because of the image, there is thinking about a shape and form, an impression of that image. It's thinking about colour, about something here. And then afterwards there's an idea of cookie, because we've heard the word cookie, or there's recognition of the label cookie. And sanya is arising at each of those moments, marking and remembering the impression of the image, marking and remembering the colours, marking and remembering the sounds that have been heard before of cookie, marking and remembering what these are. So then there comes to be the idea of seeing cookies. Actually, what is seen is just visible object, but so quickly there comes to be the idea, I see cookies, or I see people in the room. And with understanding, we still talk about the cookies and the people, and we remember the names of our friends, but no misunderstanding that these are realities. It's clear they are just ideas or concepts that are used for convenience. But without any understanding that it is just a moment of touching, not I who touch, just hardness or softness that is touched now, or just visible object that's seen, the conceptual world will always be taken for being the real world. So in order to understand what is real and what is concept, we have to hear and consider more and more about what is reality now.
You can read the label on that packet, I think.
Is that seeing or thinking that reads the label?
Thinking.
So what is seeing?
Just see.
Yeah, but what is the object of seeing?
No.
Before the thinking that can read.
Color. Color and shape.
When you say color, do you mean a particular color? When you're seeing now, do you just see that
yellow color?
Only that? Or is there other color also being experienced at this moment?
Yes, other colors. Also other colors.
Right. So what is seen before the thinking that reads the characters is just something that is visible. Just that which is visible. It's not the packet, it's not the yellowness, but it's something that is just visible to seeing consciousness. Even knowing that that is a packet is thinking already. Knowing that that's a table is thinking already.
So fast.
And why can you read the Chinese characters but not the Thai characters?
Because I didn't learn Thai before.
Because Samya doesn't recognize, so as soon as there's the seeing of the visible object, there's recognition of the thinking about the Chinese characters and recognizing because of previous Samya that is marked and remembered those visible objects in that way and thought about them and given meaning to them. So because of Sanya at each moment, there is thinking in a particular way. But if there isn't the recognition of the Thai characters, no thinking about the meaning.
So the question is, so does that mean maybe the more I learn, actually it's making it more difficult to realize the realities, because the more I learn, maybe more concept, more thinking, and it's actually become a difficulty for me.
That's thinking about it again.
Learning about what is real at the present moment cannot make things more difficult. It can only make things easier, because one is seeing the world more in accordance with the way it is.
What is easy?
Reading the books is relatively easier, much easier.
Understanding of reality at all.
Ignorance is easy.
Right. Ignorance is easy.
So what is easy?
Attachment.
No.
What is easy? Not to know is easy, right?
Everything is not easy to understand as not self.
Right.
At all. Even just the word experiencing, see? Who knows? Because we were born and we were familiar with many things in life as something and people and things all the time. So it's not easy to really understand that actually there is no one at all. Mm-hmm. So what are there when there is no one?
Reality.
You call it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even you don't call it, it's there. So what is real at this very moment is easy to understand or very difficult. If you think that it's easy, you cannot see the wisdom of the Buddha at all. But it takes quite a long, long time from life to life to understand what we is hearing now. So actually, each word should be considered because it represents a reality, just one characteristic at a time.
It's
So is seeing as short as hearing?
As short, yes.
It doesn't mean that hearing is shorter.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean hearing is shorter.
Every moment is as short as it is.
Right. My moment, right?
So when you ask after seeing, what conditions thinking about that, right? Your question about that, how comes to be thinking about that which is seen, right?
Earlier question about how it actually turned to become the concept. Why does it become an eye?
Nothing can turn. Once it has arisen, it falls away instantly.
Never.
Return. Seeing this moment is not seeing a moment ago at all. When there is not enough understanding, can there be the realizing the nature which now sees as it is? Right? Even there is seeing right now, if there is not enough understanding, no one can experience the nature which arises and sees and falls away.
And if there is the idea, as you suggested before, that understanding more about how there comes to be the idea of someone or cookie will somehow make life more complicated or make things take longer, this is not the understanding of the reality. Life carries on just as usual, seeing, hearing, thinking, just as usual. And if understanding begins to develop, it just slips in naturally, just like attachment usually slips in now. It doesn't make anything take longer or change the way of thinking at all. It just means it's understood a little more as it actually is. For example, some people may think that if they are on the crowded underground in Taipei or rushing to work or busy in their job, that it means that it's more difficult for awareness or understanding to arise, and that first they should slow down or go to a quiet place. But this is not the right understanding of realities. Seeing now, or seeing in the forest, or seeing on the underground, or seeing at work, is just the same. It arises for a moment, sees visible object and is gone, followed by many, many moments of thinking. And if there's any idea of trying to slow it down, then it's the idea of self trying to catch realities again.
I'm not clear about, even if I hear about, intellectually understand hearing, hear, seeing, sees, and then arise past so fast, and I still do my own routine life, not to think about all this. I mean, how can this increase more understanding?
By hearing now about realities for the first time, it's a condition to begin to consider more about realities which one's never considered before. Mm-hmm. And hearing more, considering more, reflecting more about how life really is, not how we've always thought it to be, is a condition that gradually that understanding of what is real accumulates and begins to grow. But it needs a lot of hearing and a lot of considering, and most importantly, a lot of wise reflecting. And that's a way that understanding begins to develop. Now it's just intellectual, but by the intellectual understanding becoming firmer and firmer, when it's really firm, no doubt about I can do anything, then it will condition the direct understanding of realities. But if there is still the idea that I can experience the heat or cold, or I should do this or that, mm-hmm. to have more understanding, or be here and not there,
then it can never condition the direct understanding of the realities.
What does wise reflection mean?
Wise reflection is the kind of reflection that is going on now. So after hearing that seeing is just a reality which sees visible object, no one there, at this moment there is wise reflection because there is a little understanding with it. It's the opposite of unwise reflection when, as usual, we take it for I can experience, I can do, I should go here or there.
So let's make it saying not totally clear, but maybe roughly 60-70% clear. And what's not clear? There is still doubt, just like when I was in Vipassana Center, the particular method before, I believe it's right. But now I'm hearing this, it sounds so makes sense, but how am I sure it's right? Is this right? And then, because I also don't know how long it's going to take, maybe it's still the old happy pattern, the accumulation, that when I learn something that I should try to understand quickly. So I don't know how long it's going to take. That's why there's some doubt.
Well, in your earlier question, you asked what was the value, I think, in coming to understand seeing an invisible object. And it also relates to this question, because this is the only way for detachment to be developed.
Why?
Why is this the only one way?
Because dhammas are by nature not worth clinging to, but their nature is not seen until this kind of understanding is developed. We take them as being permanent or worthwhile, but they are by nature impermanent and not worthwhile.
I didn't really 100% believe in the Vipassana Center method I learned before, but I still wonder why Buddha taught about Vipassana and why there are so many monks in Myanmar. They are doing the method, paying attention to some, you know, try to manage the attention.
Well, what we are talking about today is Vipassana. It is seeing clearly what is real at the present moment.
But when I was in the Vipassana Center before, I was told to be accept it is as what it is.
I was told to...
to just accept whatever appears, is okay. Whatever appears.
And what does that mean?
The just current state is the reality.
What realities are to be seen? There are current realities now, right?
Now there are current realities, right? Yes, yes.
Are you sure now that seeing sees?
Yes, I believe.
So, see, no eye. Who see anymore?
Well, if there is really direct experience of seeing sees, then yes, that would be a stronger belief.
What experience that?
Eyes.
I again, not right, the eyes. No, I mean that at this moment is the confidence about seeing that it's not I who sees. It's just a moment of that which can experience only that which is seen.
I think I have the
So it's to you who believe, not right understanding, which is getting firmer and firmer. So it's still you who believe, who has confidence. It's not that which understands.
Understanding.
So can you attain Nibbana?
No.
What attains?
I don't know.
See? So you went to meditation center and you don't know. That's not the teachings of the Buddha at all.
What happens is people would like to have direct experience of realities, or what they patipati. So they think that meditation is patipati, and they go to the center and they think they can have direct experience of different feelings or sensations or whatever arises, and that this is vipassana. Is that correct? And then afterwards they think maybe later it's good to study or consider or find out more about realities. But in truth it has to be the other way round. There has to be the hearing about realities and the wise consideration about realities first, before there can be any direct understanding of realities. If one just tries to go the quick way and have direct understanding and awareness of realities without any wise attention or consideration, then for sure it's the practice motivated with the idea of self and motivated with attachment to get those results, because there hasn't been the careful consideration first, the pariyatti, the wise consideration of realities.
So basically she accepted that, and maybe that's why she was confused. That was all reversed order. Right.
So the quick way and the quick results and the quick vipassana is the wrong way, because it's motivated with the wrong idea of I can be aware, I can practice. So actually the right way, it's not a quick way, and so it takes a lot of courage and patience to accept that mostly there is ignorance and attachment and not understanding anything in life. And the first step is the very, very careful consideration of realities, because otherwise no way to give up that idea of I can do.
So when I look at this, and then there are no words, really thinking no words at all, just purely look at this color, this shape and form, and no words, what is that exactly?
It's the you who is looking.
Not really thinking about I or not I.
In order to understand that there is no you, no self, no one at all, there should or must be the understanding of seeing as it is. No one at all. Mm-hmm. And seeing cannot be seen like visible object. So at this moment, that reality which can experience only visible object is arising and falling away.
Right. But if there's no words really going down, what's really happening?
It's really because you see that seeing sees in Thai or in what language? Seeing? No matter in what language at all. It sees.
Yes.
So when you say looking at this, there's already thinking. Mm. Has to be, because thinking selects the cup out of the visible object that is being experienced.
That's right. Yeah.
So even though there's no words, there's thinking in terms of image.
Vitaka already performed a function.
Just call it thinking.
Right.
Because we're talking about jittas that think in the process following the seeing.
Right. Okay.
It's still the idea of something there. So as soon as there's an idea of something, so utter view, belief of utter or self, doesn't just mean there's an idea that of a Jonathan or a John, but also the idea of something. Something here, not just visible object that's seen. This is also the idea of utter.
There's a widespread idea that when there's knowing about something without naming, is it a kind of wisdom or understanding? But actually, is it not?
that's why Ajahn said the idea of self is still there at that moment.
Right. Vincent, you mentioned no words, but shape and form. Even then, it's not. There's a kind of thinking happening.
Right. Yeah. Just as right. There's something there already. So seeing and hearing, does that happen at the same moment?
No, never.
Different conditions.
Okay. She was actually meant to ask, the eye base and the seeing can only be known one at a time, can only be experienced one at a time.
One at a time? How many moments of seeing, and how many moments of that which is seen? Uncountable, before there can be the idea of this and this and that.
But is she in fact asking that there can be awareness of either seeing or visible object, but not both at the same time?
I think that's a better phrase, right?
Is that what she's asking?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what. And is there any order, like who first, who comes later?
If there's any idea of trying to make an order of what awareness is aware of or understands first, then it's the idea of selection again, or the idea of I can make an order. So just entirely depends on conditions, what can be known.
I think she was probably asking about the conditionality, who condition what.
Right. And I don't know whether she understands about whether you know about the word citta. So at each moment of life there is one citta, one arising and falling away, next arising and falling away, each one conditioning the next one, like dominoes. And each citta experiences one object. So if it is the citta which arises with understanding, it also experiences one object. So each citta in life experiences one object only.
So what is seen now? Yes, what is seen?
What is seen?
What is seen?
She said, just seen, just see. Seen, just see.
But what is seen?
The visible object is seen.
Yes, but you see that whenever we see, there is the idea all the time.
That it's not whispered object which is seen.
So should I answer just cup? What is seen?
It's seen.
The idea. That's why even we say that no one sees, and that which is seen cannot be anything at all, only that which can be seen. It's very difficult to understand.
Nina was just telling me, this moment is the most difficult to understand.
Because it's the words from the enlightenment of Buddha, not from teachers, even people today. Because what is right, it is right. The words of truth cannot be changed at all. No one can change.
Many people find it difficult to understand what is seen. But seeing can only see that which is visible to it. Okay, it can only see what is visible to it.
Like the camera taking a picture.
It can't see a cup because seeing does not have that quality, that ability, so to speak. It can only see what is visible. Sometimes we refer to that as color, but even that is misleading. Yeah, it can only see what it has the capacity to see, which is what is visible to it. Light, maybe we can call it light, but it's really just what is visible. Just like hearing can only hear sound, not a voice, not a trumpet piano, Okay, a music. Right. So when we think of visible object, it's not really an object like a cup or anything that. It's only that which seeing can see. Seeing is not able to see people. It is not able to see tables. It is not able to see words on boxes. It can only see something visible. Not even something. That which is visible. The idea of the cup or the table comes after. Because seeing arises, each moment of seeing arises and goes away quickly, faster than that. So fast. And that's the point at which the mind starts thinking about something. And then memory will come, and there'll be memory of, oh yeah, that's a cup. But it's all so, so fast. Mm-hmm. Faster than we can imagine. Mm-hmm. And it's happening right now. And the same with my speaking to you. What hearing is not words, but sounds. Okay, and then again, it's the hearing. Sound is arising and falling so quickly. I mean, it's really, we cannot really conceive of, I don't know how you say that. We can't imagine how quickly it is. It's beyond our imagination. And it's the images that are formed when the sound arises and falls away. Different moments of sound. They present to our thinking like something real. Like piano music or my voice. But what the understanding, learning to understand about realities, which are seeing, invisible object, hearing and sound, what understanding can understand is that these, that seeing sees only visible object. Mm-hmm. And we'll know that one at a time. But only after understanding has developed to a high level. And to do that, one has to hear the Dhamma often, and there will be consideration. All of this is natural, because you would not be here listening now if there were no interest. Mm-hmm. Other people could sit in this room and listen and go, I'm getting out of here. But you are here because there is an accumulation of interest. Mm-hmm. And after a lot of hearing and considering, thinking about what you have heard, and that will just arise naturally, there can be more understanding. And it will eventually become clearer why it's important to know that seeing only sees visible object. Mm-hmm. Because there really is no self. But without seeing, understanding that it is just a reality, that there's no me who is seeing, and there's no cup that is seen. Without that, there will never be a real understanding of anatta, no self. Does that help?
Yes.
What is meditation?
Some kind of method to quiet the mind down.
Attachment.
Most of the time.
No understanding. And that's not the teachings of the Buddha. Because his words contain the truth of reality, and right understanding performs the function of detachment, not attachment at all. At moment of understanding, the understanding that actually there is no one, no thing, only different realities conditioned to arise, arising and falling away in succession all the time, non-stop, uncontrollable, endless, see?
But this stage of banya is already kind of strong already, right?
From the beginning. If it's not true from the very beginning, how can it become more and more true?
Because I didn't feel I have that kind of banya yet. Does that mean I don't have banya at all?
You call it banya, but what is the real? Right. Yeah, see? Uh-huh. So even hearing the word of truth, like there's no self, mm-hmm. consider whether it's true or not. So what is that which sees and hears? They are only different conditioned realities, uncontrollable. No one can make it arise at all. From now on, there can be the moment of the accumulation of beginning to understand the truth until it's developed higher and higher, clearer and clearer.
And this accumulation condition our thinking.
It's still I who expects. But okay. Actually, understanding eliminate ignorance mm-hmm. and attachment little by little. Mm-hmm. If there is no words about reality at all, what can bring about the understanding of no self? Because this is something. Whatever is something is the idea of atta,
right.
Something permanent.
In short, basically the concern is the akusala may build faster and get stronger and overpower most of the times akusala.
But so, what is kusala and what is akusala? Me, I, what?
It's thinking about kusala, akusala.
Really? Because even saying that it's thinking is I. So it's not the nature of that which is kusala or akusala yet. Until there is more understanding of realities as they are.
So that's interesting. So it does not belong to anyone.
Because how long did Buddha take to become enlightened? And what is meant by enlightenment is fully understanding whatever is now arising and falling away.
Okay. The other question is, when banya grows so strong to a mature, strong degree, there's no caring about what is kusala, what is akusala. Is that right?
Does banya care or it understands?
Just to know, just to understand.
Mm. Each one is different ones.
So, because we are still thinking, so there is kusala and akusala.
What is thinking?
There's a wrong view, there's an eye to judge things.
We usually go along so many things, but if we think about just one reality at a time, there will be a clearer understanding. For example, can we say that when it's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, then it is thinking?
Thinking.
See? And seeing is very short. That's why after that, there are process of thinking followed instantly, unknowingly, like now. As mm-hmm. soon as there is seeing, there is the idea of cup. Mm-hmm. Seeing cannot know that it's cup. It just arises to see, just that. Mm-hmm. Other moments are moments thinking all the time. Mm-hmm. So if we understand what the world is, whatever arises is the world. If there's nothing arising at all, there will not be a world. So is this a world?
这个字吗? No, it's not a word.
It does not arise? It does not appear?
它没有出现吗?
Yes, it appears. See, we just talk about many words in life, but no understanding enough at all. Just think that we understand more and better, but actually it's not. Until there is the understanding of a reality, from moment of hearing, considering, until its moment of more understanding. Because even when it's told that thinking is not moment of seeing, see, but now this is seen as something. So how can there be such distinction between moment and moment of thinking?
How?
See, how again?
I mean, I don't know how you say how can one distinguish?
No, to learn to understand. There's no other way at all. Mm-hmm. Only learning will bring more understanding.
Right.
And learning from whom? The words of the Buddha, the enlightened one only, mm-hmm. not the other ones at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh. She's checking a personal question about Ajahn. Is seeing just see? Difficult to you or easy to you?
Not to me, not to anyone, to understanding.
Right, to understanding. What's the charge of the learning form? It's understanding the most than not, you can sit down.
Is hearing dark or light?
Is hearing dark or light? Dark.
Good. Because even now there's seeing and hearing. But see, we live in the world of darkness. Because hearing is dark, thinking is dark, touching is dark. Everything appears in darkness except one doorway. See.
Except one doorway.
Mm-hmm. See.
Right.
And visible object.
Right.
And when it's not right understanding, it cannot realize that at all. So we live in dark world except at moment of seeing.
Mm-hmm. You know the light we talked about yesterday?
Mm-hmm. The light.
Yeah. So you ask light is color or what is it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she just thought about the blind people who could not see. So she was saying so those poor people.
No light at all.
Okay.
Can Panya experience that?
So the question is, what can Panya?
The truth of what we are talking about.
Right.
So by then, there is no idea about I, permanent I, anymore. Otherwise, one just learn and think that there is no self, but actually what is seen is someone all the time, or something all the time. So it's not just trying to tell the other that there is no self, but then the understanding develops from hearing, considering, so it's one's own. We use the word one because it's different, to show that this one is not that one, but actually no one.
Mm-hmm.
Have confidence in right understanding?
Yes.
Yeah.
No self is trying with ignorance and attachment, mm-hmm. without any understanding at all. What for doing so? And that is not the teachings of the Buddha at all.
It's not easy to correctly or distinguish what is the true, real Buddha's teaching.
Why not? Each word represents or contains right understanding. For example, seeing. He didn't say that I see, who see, but seeing is seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Is seeing a dog? Is seeing a cat? Is seeing an angel? Or under the water? Can there be seeing? When there are conditions, no matter where and when, no one can stop seeing to arise. So how long will it take for right understanding to directly experience what Buddha taught?
Don't know and don't think about it.
That's it. And this is the only way to eliminate desire and attachment. Otherwise it's there more and more. because it's so very difficult, and it's only Panya which begins to understand little by little. The more it understands, the less ignorance is. And it saved one's life from ignorance, the non-stop arising and falling away, uncontrollable of realities. Because Buddha taught about realities in different manners, many, many ways, like about dhatu, elements. We can use each the term as element, even if we don't use the term citta, cetasika, and rupa, because they are elements. And what is meant by element is the reality which nobody can change its quality or characteristic at all. So now, all are elements. Heat is element. Hardness is element. Seeing is element. So there are two different kinds of elements in brief or category, like the one which arises cannot experience anything, like hardness, it does know anything. And that which has no shape, no form, no element of rupa with it, but it arises and experience, that's all. So what one takes for people and things are namas and rupas, the body and the mind. The people just know only that. That's another way to understand that there is no self. When there are only elements of seeing, element of that which is seen, element which hears, and element which cannot hear. So any question about what you have learned?
I have more confidence.
Pardon?
I have more confidence.
Yes, because of understanding. But there are so many words that you have learned or read about. So is there any question about those words?
So Buddha's, the purpose of Buddha's teaching is to help people understand truth.
Because actually there's no one, but there is ignorance which cannot understand.
So didn't Buddha's teaching about dukkha and stop dukkha?
If you don't know what dukkha is, so what's the use of the word dukkha? So what is dukkha? Whenever there is the any word which comes in, that should be the what is it? From the very beginning, what is it? So that we can continue and have more understanding. What is meant by dukkha and what is dukkha?
Lobha, dosa, and moha, they are dukkha.
Is seeing dukkha?
Seeing there is no dukkha.
Whatever arises and falls away is the greatest dukkha. It's the absolute dukkha because no one can hold it, no one can have it there. It arises and falls away. Everyone would like to have everything stay on and on and on. So the absolute dukkha is that which arises and falls away. That which is there is pleasant, but that which just appears and falls away, never to return at all. Because another word for dukkha is that which arises and falls away.
So the dukkha from departing from the loved ones, can this kind of dukkha be removed by Buddha's teaching?
What kind of reality is at the very moment? No one, but what reality is there?
Mm-hmm. So it's more like worry about the other family member, how to make them realize. So when, for example, when he passed away, when my brother passed away, the other family member may be suffering.
Without understanding itself as whoever's born dies.
Right. When it really happens, it's very difficult to...
That's why Buddha understands that everything is like this, just very short, arising and falling away, and how to save one from sorrow and sadness must be right understanding that it's so common, natural. And now it's not just only the moment of death, even right now, whatever arises dies. Birth and death, each moment.
So she's asking, so for seeing also arising, passing, so seeing also is dukkha? She asked about...
Seeing arises and falls away, and is it also dukkha?
Panya is dukkha too.
Yes. That is the deepest sense of the meaning of dukkha, because there are different degrees, different kinds. It's not only painful feelings. Some people think only of pain is dukkha, but it's also other meanings.
How can dukkha be stopped? Then how can dukkha be stopped?
If everything is rising and passing.
And can anyone make it arise so that one can make it not stop?
And it never returns, so it's unsatisfactory.
The only way it can stop is through understanding and attaining nibbana. But we're not there.
Every moment that there is the reality and it had the dukkha there. No one
knows
because of ignorance.
Right. Right. Because arising and falls away doesn't stay at all.
Otherwise, it's my panya. But it's gone completely. That there are conditions for the arising of the next one, the new one, all the time.
It's momentary, you see. It's not a state.
So what are the Four Noble Truths that Buddha taught?
Dukkha and the origin of dukkha, the stop of dukkha.
So what is dukkha?
Clinging to anything is dukkha.
Whatever arises and falls away is dukkha.
Yeah, but clinging is the cause of dukkha.
Right.
It's clinging also dukkha? Yeah. That's right. Because if we just come across the word the Four Noble Truth and think that the attachment is the cause, one might think that it does not arise and falls away. But actually whatever arises falls away. But by the way Buddha taught about the Four Noble Truths, it means what is the cause and what is the result of the four.
It's very worth to learn the meaning of dukkha. As Ajahn always say that this is very useful to learn all the, every word carefully.
Right.
Like dukkha. Sometimes most of us take it wrongly, the meaning of dukkha. It's not only suffering.
Right.
Another.
Yeah, many different levels of dukkha, right?
All conditioned realities arising and falling away is unsatisfactoriness.
So seeing isn't that just a function to see the visible object? Why is that suffering? I don't see what there is suffering
arise?
There.
Does it arise?
It's a sensation. Yes. She understands this arising and passing, but she just doesn't link why seeing just perform a function to see. Why can that be a suffering?
What do you mean by seeing?
To see.
A reality, see. No one, right?
Yeah.
No one. And it just arises to see only that, no more.
Right. And that's exactly why she questioned why could that be a suffering?
Because no one can have it arise, it's not anyone's control, no one can stop it from falling away. As soon as it arises and see that it passed away instantly.
I think because she's thinking about dukkha as suffering, but Ajahn saying mentioned dukkha
right.
is different,
right.
meaning
right.
is unsatisfactory. So
right. Right.
That's why I think she questioned
yeah.
saying why she is dukkha.
Right.
So
which
is
all suffering,
right.
dukkha.
She's still wondering why the scene fall away. It fall away, why there's dukkha?
If nothing arises and fall away, there is no dukkha. If nothing arises, nothing fall away, no dukkha.
Dukkha is a characteristic of
every condition.
Every citta. Oh no, sorry. Every reality.
Right, every condition.
No, every reality. Dukkha is a characteristic of.
Only
sorry, it's not a characteristic. What is it?
It's not
reality.
It's not a reality. Dukkha is not a reality.
It's a dakana.
Dukkha is. Whatever arises.
Falls away.
Is a reality.
Right.
So it's dukkha.
Okay, whatever arises is a reality, so it's dukkha.
It's a reality.
But it's not a dhatu. Am I?
It is.
It is.
Because we can see that when we talk about reality, we talk about its characteristic.
Yes.
Arising and falling away is its characteristic. Mm-hmm. And if nothing arises at all, nothing will fall away. No dukkha.
Right.
It does mean that there is the characteristic dukkha without any reality.
Yes.
It is the characteristic of reality which is dukkha. Arising and falling away, anicjang, not permanent,
yes.
dukkhang, the characteristic which just arises and falls away is dukkha, and anatta,
mm-hmm.
three characteristics of all conditioned
right.
realities, anicjang, dukkhang, anatta, that which is anicjang, arising and falling away, is dukkha and uncontrollable.
I think where I'm
we cannot separate the characteristic of dukkha
from the
reality.
Okay,
yeah.
That's where, because it's not a jetasika.
No.
It's not a citta.
It is citta arises and falls away. So citta itself is dukkha.
Citta itself is dukkha, but it's. This is just a small, small point. I understand mm-hmm. that each reality is an icha dukkha and anatta.
Because dukkha is not just only unpleasant moment.
No, no.
It's the impermanency
yeah.
of everything.
Yes, yes.
Why just arise and falls away from nothing and then something and then nothing again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's a...
Yeah.
That's why
I do understand that. I just...
As long as there is no experiencing of the arising and falling
yeah.
away, one cannot understand what is dukkha. That which just arises mm-hmm. and falls away no more.
Yeah.